It's time for JT the Brick.
Reset the show. This is the home of the Raider Nation, where Raider fans have a voice on this. I love putting fans on the radio. I love hearing emotion. I love hearing passion. I love hearing people, if they're critical or they're happy, whatever there is, I like to hear people to know I'm on the radio, not guests if they're listening and wondering if they're out there. And hopefully I bring that to the radio show. Fandom, fandemonium, getting people excited about sports.
JT the Brick.
I care about going to games and winning games. That is it. I like to pause, have a sip of water, and talk to a Raider fan, either in a chat or over the phones, who has something smarter to say than I do, which many do. More knowledgeable fans than me, I admit that. More passionate fans than me? Yeah, there's a number of them. But I'm the gateway to getting everybody in here to let it rip. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. Got it? That's the show.
And now,
fandemonium.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT live from Grimaldi's in Boca Park on a glorious day. We are here. I got friends from the Raider Nation. Stoner Dude is back from Europe. Thor is here representing the Black Hole before he goes on a Alaskan cruise with his bride. And we want you to come out 15% off. 15% off anything you order here today. Home of the new Giant Slice. You know, I dreamed of someday doing a live radio remote at a pizza parlor. And ladies and gentlemen, breaking news, this is the first ever live remote I've ever done from a pizza joint, and it's the best pizza I've ever had. I love Grimaldi's, as I said, because of my dad. My dad, who will be 85 on May 24th, and here in Vegas, we will live out on this patio here in Boca Park. We will have a glass of vino. We will have great pizza, and I hope you can come out today. Hey, you can get here in Vegas if you're listening. All you got to do is get to Rampart, Boca Park, right across from Total Wine. We're right here. Grimaldi's, the best pizza I've ever had. Come on out, support the show. And I got a lot I want to talk about today. I'm giving away a Grimaldi's $50 gift card every hour for the best call. Now, I won the best caller on the Jim Rome Show, the Smack Off, and I got nothing for that other than started my radio career. Here, I want to hear from a couple of callers today to wake the hell up and get moving on the draft. So what I'm looking for is either a Vegas Golden Knight desperation call, because I'm about to get desperate in the next 5 minutes, or a Raider draft recap call, where I want to know about Brock Bowers. You know, a lot of you Raider fans are blanking and moaning on Twitter about we didn't get a quarterback. We didn't get a quarterback. I got to Grimaldi's today. And one of my buddies said, how'd you think the draft go? I said, pretty good. He goes, but we didn't get a quarterback. I remind you again, quarterbacks were not available. We don't know if Michael Penix would have been available. You know they tried to get up to get Jaden Daniels. And I love what Tom Telesco said, that he wasn't going to get a quarterback late. Why would you get a quarterback late in the draft when you have Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell? Aiden O'Connell's a fourth-round pick, and Gardner Minshew's ready to play. So you don't need to develop a fourth-round quarterback. Either we were going to get Jaden Daniels at number two, there was no trade available with Washington, or we might have got Michael Penix at 13, but he was gone to Atlanta at number eight. So for Raider fans, I put out one of the most volume tweets that I've ever put out in my Raider Nation career. I pinned it to my Twitter profile, at JT the Brick. Here's the tweet. After the additions this offseason and in the draft, give me your prediction on the Raiders' wins this upcoming season. And I put up the Raiders' schedule for this year. Do you believe who the Raiders are playing? Now, I don't love the home schedule, but I think it's more winnable than any schedule in the history of the Las Vegas Raiders. We got the three division games. We got the rebuilding Broncos. We got the Chargers, who lost their three best offensive players, and we got Kansas City. We get Cleveland at home, Pittsburgh at home, Atlanta at home, Jacksonville at home, and the worst team in football, Carolina. So, those are eight games. We have eight home games, and we have nine road games. So we play an extra road game this year, flips back and forth. Follow me with this here in the opening monologue brought to you by Grimaldi's, the best pizza I ever had. Give me the win against Carolina, Atlanta, Jacksonville, and Denver. That's four wins at home. Four wins at home. Okay, there's eight games at home. I think we can win five or six home games. Dead serious out of the eight. But give me, for this argument here, give me Denver, the Chargers, because we always split with them. We lose there, we win here. Give me Atlanta, give me Carolina, and give me Jacksonville. That's five wins at home. All I need is five more wins to get to the playoffs. But here's the problem. The road schedule is a monster. We don't know the dates yet. Stay tuned next week. On the road again, Kansas City, Denver, and the Chargers. I'm saying Denver's a must-win. If you want to make the playoffs, you got to sweep Denver. Then the Raiders are at the Bengals in Cincinnati, at the Ravens in Baltimore, at New Orleans, at Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield, a playoff team, at Miami, a playoff team, and at the Rams, a playoff team. OMG, oh my God. Now, the biggest part of the road schedule this year is we have the potential for three cold weather games, at Kansas City, at Cincinnati, at Baltimore. New Orleans is indoors. Tampa Bay, the weather will be fine. Miami, the weather will be outstanding, and L.A. is a home game for the Raiders. Remember, the Raiders play the Chargers and L.A. on the road. Those are two home games for the Silver and Black. So for everything I'm talking about here, I was surprised, other than some rascals who said the Raiders won't win more than three or four games, a couple of clowns on Twitter, anonymous eggheads, most people were coming back at me saying 10 or 11 wins. 10 or 11 wins for the Raiders, which the season total win in Vegas is 6.5. So I'm just telling you in general, I got a lot of Raider fans saying 10 wins because they're Raider fans, and I got the Vegas bent-nosed bookmakers saying 6.5. So we would all admit that we should place a bet on the Raiders over the season total at 6.5. They only have to win 7 games. So the road schedule is better than the home schedule. It is. It's just a better schedule of teams that have more pop on the road. But I could care less. I want to win every game. I'm a season ticket holder, and we got to win these home games. So that's one of the topics I want to hear from you today. Not knowing the dates of the schedule, Raider Nation, go to my Twitter, JT the Brick on X. You'll see it there. It's got 75,000 hits already on it, which is a pretty big one for me. 75,000 hits in less than 24 hours there. Matter of fact, we're up to 82,000. 82,000 views on that. What do you think? Give me your opinion, because the schedule's coming out here pretty quick. I cannot divulge what I know on what the day the schedule is coming up, but you know I'm in the know. And I'll tell you about that next week as we open it up. That's one of the topics that I'm ready to get into. Fight weekend. I'll be ringside for Canelo tomorrow night. Muniga, okay? Mungina. I'm going to get the right pronunciation of the name. We have a Tijuana boxer. We have two Mexican boxers, and there's a lot of bad blood between Oscar De La Hoya, who pretty much was the architect of Canelo's career, and Canelo doesn't respect Oscar, and Oscar thinks Canelo crossed the line. Jim Lampley, the Hall of Fame broadcaster, will join us at the bottom of the hour over the phone. Jim Lampley's in town for the fight. He'll join us. Vince Sapienza at 105, Vegas Golden Knight Insider. I am ashamed at this town. I am ashamed at this town for the lack of hockey excitement in this town. My phone blew up this morning. I got buddies of mine selling tickets. They're selling their season tickets, and they're asking me if they want. I want to buy their season tickets. I said, I don't know. I don't need your tickets. You don't think I got some juice to get in that building? I don't need your tickets. Why are you looking to sell them? Why aren't you going? And I got friends saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? It's an elimination game. They don't say that in Toronto, in Detroit, in Dallas, in New York at the Garden with the Rangers. Can I get a I've been looking for a Golden Knight fan to call this show for 4 days. I can't get one. I got a fistful of $50 Grimaldi gift cards. I can't even find a Golden Knight fan. I think it's disgraceful. I hope that George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmons aren't listening to this show. I had a dream of having a hockey show in town from noon to two. Everybody abandoned me for Raiders Radio. They don't think we're allowed to talk Stanley Cup hockey on the Raider flagship. Hell with that. You better believe it. We got to win this game tonight. Bobby works the games. We want Bobby to be working at night, having fun, running the game, cutting up all the sound. I need my Modelos at the Golden Knights game. I need the Golden Knights to give me 3 or 4 or 5 more weeks of entertainment in town. Look at the weather out here today at Grimaldi's. Can you imagine if we don't have Golden Knight games next week? It's going to be a ghost town in this town. What are we going to do? Raiders don't play for months. We need this hockey team to win. I'm guaranteeing a win tonight. I'm guaranteeing a win. It'll be a 4-3 final at the Fortress. Vegas will hold on as Dallas pulls the goalie, and Dallas will be peppering the Golden Knights, but the Golden Knights will win the game and then go back to Dallas, and we'll have an opportunity to talk about that game. Let me hear from a Golden Knight fan today, or I'm going to be, I don't get depressed, but I'm going to be really disappointed. VGK, wake the hell up, 702-365-9200, as we open up the show again today. I mean, is there a hockey game on at noon anywhere? No? Anybody hockey host in the building? I walked by the Golden Knight studio today. It was dark at noon. I'm here to talk hockey. I want to hear from you as we get going. But I'm more excited about my Knicks. Did you see my gritty, gutty Knicks last night? Oh, my God. Oh, my dream is to be a Knicks fan and to win in the playoffs. And the Knicks were able to pull that off last night in Philadelphia against those dirty, stinking green, drunk Philly fans. I had a friend who went to the game. He said it was a madhouse. He couldn't wear his colors to the game because the Philly fans wanted to fight every Knicks fan in attendance. It was incredible to see what happened in this game. Let's go down the stretch. Jalen Brunson, a big hoop and a foul and one.
Knicks lead 109-108, 58 seconds to go. Brunson gets it into Anunoby, right back to Brunson. Drives on Oubre, inside the foul line, knocked from behind, gets the roll, plus the foul.
That was huge. Brunson is one of the best players in the league, one of the best pickups. And then down the stretch, the Knicks had a seven-point lead. They were losing the lead. They needed a big shot. And Hart from Villanova, three guys on the starting lineup here, played at Villanova, played in that building throughout college, hits this big three.
Cross-court Hart on the left side. One dribble, hands it back to Brunson. Shot clock at 18. Brunson up top, Hart. Wide open, three-pointer, fires away, knocks it down. Josh Hart puts the Knicks up by three.
Big shot there, biggest shot of the year for my Knickerbockers. Knicks win in Philadelphia. Final call, the Knicks advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Batum will inbound at midcourt. Knicks need one final stop here. Batum into heel, turns, throws it up. It is no good. Rebounded by Hart, dribbles out of traffic. Knicks win. Knicks win the series in six, and the Knicks are advancing to round number two. That went down to the final buzzer of game number six. 118-115 is the final score.
It's radio on the call, so the Knicks get it done. Really big win for them, as we're really excited about what they were able to pull off. So the Knicks bring me tremendous joy in my life. I'm a diehard Knicks fan. This will give me, remember, in hockey and in the NBA, when you win, you get another 2 weeks of entertainment. When you lose, you're done. So when you look at a seven-game series, when you look at a long seven-game series, that's 2 weeks of entertainment. That's why I'm desperate today at Grimaldi's at Boca Park for a Golden Knights win. I'm desperate for a win because I need 2 weeks of entertainment in my life. We need VGK to win my Knicks advance, which I'm really excited about that. So that's what I got in the monologue, is we're live from Grimaldi's. And they got a whole bunch of deals here today. It's a great place to come out to lunch. You know how much I love Grimaldi's. Breaking news, the Lakers just fired their head coach, Darvin Ham. The Lakers have fired their head coach, Darvin Ham, after two seasons. I don't know who you want to blame there. It's a really big topic in sports. Do you? That's another good topic I'll throw out here if you want to call in on that. Who do you blame when a team flames out? Do you blame the coach or do you blame the players? You can't fire LeBron James. You can't fire Anthony Davis, so they fire the coach. Darvin Ham has been fired as the Lakers head coach moments ago after reaching the Western Conference Finals last year and winning the inaugural in-season tournament. Man, pat me on the back for saying that tournament was garbage, outright garbage. The in-season tournament where the Lakers had the gall to hang the banner that they won some meaningless in-season tournament and they fired the coach. Chalk up another one for JT the Brick in the third person. That in-season tournament is a joke. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. Now, the Patrick Beverley sound is really interesting, and we'll play this a little bit later on in the show. Patrick Beverley threw a basketball at a fan last night after the Bucks were eliminated, and then he went into the locker room and he wouldn't talk to a female producer. And he told the female producer, do you subscribe to my podcast? And the female producer said no, and he asked her to get away from him. So this guy's in big trouble. A video showing him throwing a ball at a spectator. He said, I have to be better. And then in the locker room as he talked down to a female reporter. And then he went and tried to clean it up earlier today. It's a really big storyline. This guy's a punk. He's a really bad guy. And Patrick Beverley today should be suspended into next year for a long period of time for his rude behavior as we open up the show. 702-365-9200 is the number if you want to get through on the Raiders draft. The Raiders draft is a pretty hot topic still. We were the first, Eric Allen and myself, to interview Brock Bowers. I think after looking at all the coverage that I've seen around social media, everybody's pretty happy with the pick. I know that diehard Raider fans who are here in front of me are not disappointed with Brock Bowers. They understand the upside of Brock Bowers. You know, you didn't know about Devontae Adams coming out of Fresno State. No one really knew about him. I knew about him. If you cover that, but Devontae Adams turned out to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Raider fans have now got to come out of this shock. The Raiders' first three picks were on the offensive side of the ball. They went out and got a tight end who's a slot receiver, a starting right guard, and a swing right tackle who might be able to play a lot this year. And then the rest of that, they got two corners later, one in the fourth round. They got a running back, and they got, I think, a really good a middle linebacker, special teams player that's going to play a lot for the Raiders here. So for the Raider draft, we're looking for your review because last Friday, a week ago from today, a week last week, we were diving into the rest of the draft, and it was the second, third round. I think the Raiders in the first, second, and third round, their first three picks overall, I think they got a pretty good grade. The rest of the draft, it's kind of a B. People are saying B minus. They're trying to figure it out. I don't give draft grades. I'm a hype machine. I'm hyping up the Raiders today for what they did in the draft. If you disagree with me, let me know and get this thing going. But overall, are the Raiders a better team than they were last year? Are they a significantly better team? The two big additions that the Raiders picked up, not in the draft, but part of the offseason, was Gardner Minshew at quarterback, and obviously Christian Wilkins at defensive tackle. If we didn't get those two guys, okay, let me say this. It's very important. If the Raiders didn't get Christian Wilkins and they didn't go out and get Michael Gallup and they didn't get Gardner Minshew, what the hell would I be talking about today? I'd just be talking about the draft. They got a potential starting quarterback in Minshew Mania. They went out and got a starting elite tight end to add to Michael Mayer. They got the best defensive tackle available. Chris Jones was available, but Kansas City re-signed him. I'll give Kansas City credit for that. And then the Raiders were able to get Gallup, the wide receiver out of Dallas, who, due to his contract, should make the team. And you know, I'm not a big fan of the sixth wide receiver or the fifth wide receiver, but I'm a fan of this guy because I know on third and six, listen to me on third and six. On third and six, you could potentially have these players out on the offensive skill set. You can have Zeus in the backfield. You can have Michael Mayer at tight end. You'll have Brock Bowers on the field. He better not come off the field. Did you hear me? I don't want to hear him coming off the field for water or a break or anything. Do not touch Brock Bowers. Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, and Gallup. Now, all of them can't be out there at the same time, but you could have four of them out of those six guys. That's pretty damn good. Who's got a better offensive skill set than that? Who's got better players in this league other than Kansas City than the Raiders at the skill position spots of receiver, slot receiver, and tight end? Raider Nation, no one respects you. They don't respect you in L.A., they don't respect you in Denver, and they don't respect you in Kansas City. It's time for you to take over your flagship station and fight. There's no off-season on my show. I'll tell you when there's an off-season. It's when I go on vacation. That's when it's an off season, when I'm on vacation. I'm ready to go. I'm here live at Grimaldi's. We've got a nice crowd brewing here. Come here for lunch. Here's the show today. Jim Lampley at 12:30. 105, Vince Sapienza. I want to kind of have my bucket of Modellos at some point and get into the Tom Telesco replay. We had an exclusive interview with him. We'll see what happens here. But the show is open for business. Let's get going here. It's been a good week on the radio. 702-365-9200 Grimaldi's. I got two $50 Grimaldi gift cards for the best calls each hour. And you guys have not moved my needle this week. It's been a poor week. I might keep the Grimaldi's gift cards and stock them away for me. Let's get going. Let's wake it up. It's a Golden Knights night tonight. Love to hear from a hockey fan that predicts a win. 30. If you think we're going to lose the game, get out of town. Got to win this game tonight. As Charles Barkley says, guaranteed. I'm guaranteeing a Golden Knights win tonight. What am I going to do, pour a beer over my head or do something stupid like I did in college if they lose? I'll figure out what I'll put on the line for the guarantee. Live from Grimaldi's, the best pizza I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. What's up, everybody? I came on here to address this claim that I cheated.
Lies.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that I don't cheat. What can I say? You know, why didn't they come out with this before, you know, the fight, if they found it before? Why would they let me step into the ring as a cheater and then come out with a victory and then they post this, you know? Again, these are people that are trying to attack me for whatever reason, but no weapon against me shall prosper. I never taken a steroid in my life. I don't even know where to get steroids at the end of the day. I barely, you know, take supplements. They're saying it's coming from the ashwagandha.
All right, that's Ryan Garcia, who probably is going to get stripped of that win for steroids. He was overweight by 3 pounds. He's mentally unstable. But he beat Haney in a good fight. Canelo's fighting here tomorrow night. I'll be ringside for that fight. If you want to talk boxing, I'd love a boxing prediction, too, here. We're Vegas, man. If we don't want to talk hockey, I get it. We should talk boxing. We're the boxing capital of the world. So if you got a prediction on the fight, if you have a prediction on what's going to happen with the Kentucky Derby, you know, Cinco de Mayo is always fantastic in town. Cinco de Mayo, I think of Modelo. Modelo, the fighting spirit. There's going to be a lot of Modelos consumed in Vegas coming up this weekend. We're live from Grimaldi's from noon to 2 today. We're outside on the patio. Come on down and see us. 15% off everything here from their beer, wine list, food. Come on down to Grimaldi's, the best pizza I ever had. So Canelo will be fighting. There's a lot of bad blood coming up with Oscar De La Hoya here. Oscar De La Hoya was the manager for Canelo for quite some time, and they are going back and forth. And I think Canelo's kind of crossing the line because he's talking about Oscar De La Hoya and the problems he had when he went to rehab and some of the other issues in his personal life here. So I don't know. I'm going to talk to Jim Lampley about that. Is that there to sell tickets? Is that there to sell pay-per-views? What's going to happen on that? Jim Lampley will join us in the next 5 minutes here. I threw out the Raiders schedule on Twitter at JTTheBrick. I got a lot of good responses. A lot of people are kind of coming on, but it's a homer vibe. A lot of Raider fans are saying between 10 and 11 wins and a decent shot to go 5-1 in the division. I'm not going to predict 5-1 in the AFC West with Kansas City. I predict 4-2, 3-3. 3-3 is hard to do in the AFC West for the Raiders. But I'm not going to predict 5-1 because they play Kansas City twice. I'm looking for a win against Kansas City, a win against the Chargers, and a sweep against the Denver Broncos. That would have the Raiders at 4. And then taking a look at the rest of the Raider schedule, do you see any wins? Well, Carolina better be a win. Carolina's at home. They're the worst team in football. If the Raiders don't win that game at home, there's going to be big trouble. Cleveland's a very good team. Deshaun Watson, one of these years, is going to pop. The Falcons come in with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. I think the Raiders can beat Kirk Cousins. The Jaguars come in with Trevor Lawrence. If Gardner Minshew's playing against the Jaguars, he's got better numbers than Trevor Lawrence. And then the Steelers come back with Russell Wilson. And we beat Russell Wilson, we the season ticket holders, you know, twice last year. When you look at that, when you look at beating Denver twice this year and beating Russell Wilson in Denver, Jimmy Garoppolo beat him. That's going to be an interesting game because the Steeler fans, the biggest opponents to come in and play the Raiders in this upcoming season will be the terrible towels in Kansas City. Kansas City now feels real comfortable in Vegas. It pisses me off. Patrick Mahomes has a golf tournament here every weekend. Every time I open up my phone, Travis Kelce's in a nightclub somewhere at Resorts World or somewhere else. Kansas City's getting really comfortable coming to Las Vegas. And then the game's on the road that I'll be hosting a big party for. I'm pretty positive we're going to go back and do the site of one of the greatest parties I've ever thrown in Raider Nation, along with the Black Hole. We'll be going to New Orleans. So when the schedule comes out pretty quickly here, New Orleans would be the trip that I would get on and try to book that trip. I think that's going to be really important. Also, Tampa Bay looks like an unbelievable opportunity to go there too. 702-365-9200 as we wait on Jim Lampley. He'll join us here in a few minutes. I mentioned Darvin Ham. Darvin Ham getting fired by the Lakers. I'm okay with that. I don't think Darvin Ham is a good coach. He doesn't call timeouts a lot. I don't think he motivated the Lakers, but he's not the worst coach. Coaches get fired in hockey and basketball when they don't win. Jim Lampley, we've been talking to him a bunch, and I greatly appreciate it. We had him on before the Garcia win, and now we get him on again as he's part of the broadcast and the preview analysis, PPV.com. And Jim, good to talk to you in Vegas here. Looking forward to seeing you here over the weekend. You and I talked about Garcia. Now with the PED violation and what we saw with being 3 pounds overweight, how has that changed your opinion after the decision?
Well, obviously the drug violation changes the picture significantly because that just is out of bounds. And, for him or his father, either one, to contend that Vada would lie about it. Vada doesn't lie. Vada's a legitimate organization. Regardless of whether Victor Conti has some kind of supportive affiliation with Vada, which I would agree that he does, that doesn't make them a bogus or criminal organization. There's no evidence in all the years since Conti went straight in 2005 that he has been involved in illegal drug activity. Yes, he provides supplements to Devin Haney, but that doesn't mean that he's given him illegal stuff. Haney has never tested positive. Vada's legit. So I think this is a stain on the performance. And the only way that Garcia could achieve the respect he wants for a win over Devin Haney at this point would be to go back into the ring, beat Devin Haney again, and test clean. If he could do that, then all is well.
Jim Lampley's our guest. Jim, in your esteemed career covering Olympic sports, if someone's taking a performance-enhancing drug and running track and field, okay, but they're not going to kill anyone. In boxing, some type of performance enhancer could do damage to the brain of the opponent. I've always taken it much more seriously, and I take it very seriously when, my opinion on Barry Bonds is he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I believe that Barry Bonds knowingly took performance-enhancing drugs to chase down Sosa and McGuire and pass his godfather in Willie Mays, but he's hitting a baseball. For boxing, I take it much more serious because it's a combat sport.
100% correct. Emmanuel Stewart and I used to discuss this frequently, and Emmanuel said over and over, it's a different thing. We're hitting people on the head. We're not hitting baseballs out of the park. So, yes, it's a much more serious issue, and boxing has to get it right in order to maintain its legitimacy as a sport.
Jim Lampley is our guest. So as we get ready for this fight coming up here with Munguia going up against what I think is a great fighter, covered all of Canelo's fights here, what jumps out at you? Because the bad blood between Oscar De La Hoya, and I asked you about this with Ryan Garcia, I didn't think he was mentally stable. They all want to sell tickets and pay-per-views. But do you feel, and you know all of these people involved in this question and conversation, seems like this is bothering Oscar a lot because it's bringing up his past rehab and the issues he had in his personal life, and now he's unloading.
Well, I don't think that, and I've said this, Oscar is an old and dear friend. I love Oscar. He meant a lot to me early on in my boxing career. I met him at the Olympics in 1992. I thought to do what he did at the news conference was unfortunate timing and an unfortunate corruption of an event that ought to have been about promoting a great fight. This is a great fight. Look at the combined record of the two participants. Over 100 wins, 2 losses and 2 draws. It's a spectacular matchup in terms of competitive quality. It's two Mexican fighters who demonstrate respect for each other. They're both gentlemen. They're both very good people. I like them both. I'm looking forward to seeing a great fight. I think that my friend Oscar should have found some other forum and some other moment in time to discuss his continuing hangover of problems with Canelo from the past. Mm-hmm.
Jim Lampley, as we wrap it up, styles make fights. What do you like about Canelo still with his body shots, his ability to finish rounds off? And for those who don't know about his opponent, tell us why his opponent has a real chance to win the fight if he does.
I think he has a chance to win the fight. I don't know if it's really a real chance to win the fight. I was the curator and publicizer as blow-by-blow announcer of Munguia's early emergence on HBO. I took a liking to him. I took him down to my home in Del Mar, California, actually brought him across the border from his home in Tijuana, took him to the racetrack at Del Mar Racetrack, took him into the jockey's room, and he was excited that all the jockeys knew who he was. He's a great person. And I can confirm to you after the conversation yesterday that Canelo feels the same way about it. He likes him. He thinks he's a good guy. And I think that at the end of the day, particularly after spending some time with Canelo yesterday, there's just a difference in maturity. There's a difference in experience. There's a difference in background. There's a difference in the confidence that comes from proving what you can do in the ring. And most of all, there's a difference because McGee's pathway to victory in the fight is to land big punches and try to knock Canelo out. I think it is very long odds to think that McGee could outbox Canelo and win a decision. He doesn't have the craft level at this point in his career, I believe, to have a chance to outbox Canelo and win a decision. So he's probably got to get him in trouble and knock him out. And I think there's a very strong argument to be made that Canelo has the greatest punch resistance, if you want to call it a chin, the greatest chin in the sport. It's long odds for Munguia, despite his terrific unbeaten 43-0 record. And I think that this isn't the last time you'll see Munguia. He'll be in big fights down the road, but I don't like the chances to beat Canelo tomorrow night.
Hey, Jim, last one. We've had some really compelling conversations over our 20-plus years together, and you've talked about being a professor at North Carolina, and, you know, I know your background as a great human being in general. I'm really concerned about these protests on college campuses. I am. I grew up in Long Island, New York, with a heavy, heavy Jewish population. I've seen what's happening with these college kids trying to get to class. I see what's happening around them as they're being intimidated. What's happening is some of these campuses are being overrun. But I also believe in peaceful protest. And from North Carolina to Berkeley to Los Angeles at UCLA, you have an opinion on what's going on in our country as we go into this weekend.
I fear that the students whom I taught, some of whom I imagine are involved in public demonstrations on the campus in Chapel Hill, I fear that they and their contemporaries all across the country do not really fathom or understand all the complexities of the situation that they're dealing with. This is not as simple a subject as Vietnam was. This is a far more complicated and complex subject than Vietnam. And I think that there's a lot that students could learn from what's going on, but I think taking a side and interacting, even in some cases violently, is a bridge too far for their understanding and knowledge of the situation right now.
Thank you, Jim. Always appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for your time, as always.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Thank you, JT.
Thank you, Jim. You got it. The great Jim Lampley. We appreciate him. PPV is where you can find everything as he's doing in-depth analysis on the fight. Jim Lampley, strong comments there at the end. My buddy Stoner Dude's here, back from Europe in a tour. He's wearing the 420 jersey. Raider Nation, we'll get to the draft. How was your tour overseas?
The tour was awesome, JT. I had a chance to travel around the world, see Europe. 16 shows in 20 days. I mean, can you just imagine that every single day? And you're a rock and roll aficionado like myself. So I got to live that rock and roll world. You know, came back, of course, just in time for the draft. I definitely have some things about say about the draft. JT, I've been seeing you for 25 years at remotes.
Yes.
Ricky's in San Leandro, various sports bars, of course, over at the cigar place. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when there's pizza.
Yes.
I mean, in the immortal words of Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5, I'll be there.
Thank you. Well, this is the best pizza I've ever had, so I love bringing people here and telling my parents love this. Best city you played with on tour? Two-part question. Best city that you played and went to and the most rabid crowd?
Rabid crowd, Germany, Dusseldorf and Hamburg, Germany. Hardcore music, punk rock aficionados out there. I love the Netherlands. I didn't get to go to Amsterdam, but I went to Eindhoven. And I got to go to Copenhagen, Denmark, which is a very bohemian type of town. But, man, glad to be back in Vegas. Playing tonight over at Count's Vamped.
Oh, Vamped
with
tonight.
My band Hail Mary, opening up for the Count. Great. Count 77. Real quick on the draft, JT. Mm-hmm. First of all the complainers out there about Brock Bowers, you're all insane. You're crazy. I'm complaining about you, all right? I'm complaining about the complainers. You've got one of the best talents just dropped in our laps. You know, Michael Mayer, all the potential in the world. We saw what he can do. But to have that type of talent, those type of hands on the field and the size that he has, the way he runs over players like bowling balls, he runs over defensive backs, you got to love that for the Raiders. Very thankful to Tom Telesco with the draft that we had this year. I like all the picks that we made. They all look like Raiders to me.
25 years he's been calling the show and showing up, Stoner Dude. I will say that again. The fact that you've done that, I really appreciate that. And Brock Bowers fell to us. He was not going to be available under almost every circumstance. We got a guest coming up next hour. I actually picked him in a mock draft. But overall, to get a player like that, and this is kind of, I'm a little bit uncomfortable saying this. I said it about Michael Mayer. We can't fail him. This two tight end set's got to work in training camp. It's got to work in the preseason. This can't take 6 games to figure out how we're going to run these two young studs, one from Notre Dame and Georgia, and get them into the route together to pick up first downs and keep the quarterback on
the field. I think it's going to work out great, JT. First of all, we are going to still run the ball. We got Zeus. I love Zeus. We picked up some running Dylan was Dylan Lauby.
Yep.
Obviously, we got some free agents too. So the running game is still going to be solid. You're gonna get two tight ends out there. Michael Mayer is a big body kind of tight end. He's going to block some guys down the field. They're both going to catch the ball. You know, we just got rid of Hunter Renfro, and we all love Hunter.
Yeah,
Renfro.
We loved Hunter Renfro.
We all called him third and Renfro. Mm-hmm. You got Brock Bowers now, man. The guy is 3 times the size of Hunter Renfro, and he's got hands like you can't even compare to anybody else in the league right now, except for some of the other great tight ends. I think he has all the potential in the world, and I love it, man. Two tight ends. We love that. We got wide receivers. We got tight ends. I'm very confident with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew to deliver the ball and get those guys the ball. So I think it's going to be a fun, exciting season. The first time I've been this excited in a while.
That is good to hear. Good to have you back. You're at Vamps tonight, the Rock Joint. What time again?
9 p.m. tonight, JP on Sahara. Counts Vant. We'll see you there with the band Hell Mary.
100%. There's Stoner Dude. Appreciate it. Come on in here. We got pizza. We got cerveza. We have wine. They have an unbelievable wine list, and we're here at Grimaldi's right inside Boca Park. If you come to Boca Park, you'll find some parking here. Come on and see us. We're here till 2 o'clock, a little bit after that, too. Thanks again to Jim Lampley, who joined us. We'll have Vince Sapienza from Fox 5 previewing the hockey game. 42 minutes into the show, not one hockey fan is called. My prediction. Did I predict that or not? I might shut down hockey on this side of the building. I'm close. I'm close to doing it. We're here at Grimaldi's. Come on down for some pizza. Best pizza I ever had.
Low to high, finds Hanifin. Lefty shoots. Score! Redirection in front, and the Knights take a 1-0 lead. Mark Stone between the circles. It's like an instant replay of game one. Vegas has a power play goal 4 minutes in.
JT, back with you, and Mark Stone's got to get going. The rest of this team has got to get going if they're going to get rolling here. 702-365-9200. JT live from Grimaldi's. We got t-shirts, we got tumbler cups, we got some tickets to give away, we got $50 gift cards for the best call. Thank God we haven't taken a call today so we can keep the Grimaldi gift cards here. Canelo is fighting. If you got a prediction on the Kentucky Derby, throw your prediction out here. I wanted to mention, before we have Vince Sapienza coming on here at the top of the hour, the Golden Knights, if they lose this game, and I'm predicting they're going to win, but I got to do a talk show. I got to look at it from every angle. If they don't win this game, that would be 4 losses in a row in the first round, being up 2-0 as Stanley Cup champs. I don't know if that's ever happened in 100-plus years of hockey. Someone let me know if that's ever happened, that a reigning Stanley Cup champ, not losing in the first round, that's fine. Anybody could lose, but had a 2-goal, 2-game lead on the road against a 1 seed, losing 4 in a row. That has never happened in hockey history. Because then, you know, if you're going to lose in the first round and you split on the road or you lose the first 2 games on the road, I got no problem with that. But you can't go up 2-0 and then come home to what's supposed to be an unbelievable home ice advantage and lose 4 games. That just can't happen against a former coach that you were able to fire. So, Bobby, you're running these games. You do this. You know better than me. We got Gary Lawless and Hockey Insiders. This has never happened before, potentially, right? We got to win this game.
Well, obviously, A, we got to win this game or the season's over. But number two, you got to remember that the Bruins were up 3-1 last year, and they dropped 3 in a row and were out in the first round.
Yeah, but they weren't the Stanley Cup champs, were they?
No.
Right. I'm talking about the Stanley Cup champs. We're the Stanley Cup champs. We just raised a banner. I mean, you can't go from raising a banner and then having home ice in the first round because you won the first 2 games and then go out there and lose 4 in a row. I mean, this cannot happen. So I like Bruce Cassidy, the head coach, a lot because he is very comfortable making goalie changes, line changes. What I'm saying is this guy's comfortable in his own skin. He's not scared. He's not intimidated here. And Vegas looks tired to me. They look run down. They look like the example my buddy gave me the other day. It's like the Patriots. When the Patriots went to all those Super Bowls in a row, and then they go back to the playoffs, but the Patriots were rested and ready to play and win those Super Bowls. They built the dynasty. No one played more basketball games than the Warriors the last decade, right, winning 4 titles.
Right.
Then they got tired this year. This year they looked like Draymond, Clay, Steph. They were tired because they played all the games. Well, Vegas has played a lot of playoff games, Bobby, here, over the last couple of years, and it looks like it's starting to get to their legs and their age of the players here. They got to wake up tonight, man. They got to play like they're young hockey players, and Cassidy's got to get something out of these guys tonight.
I completely agree. That's the key to the game right there. If Cassidy is able to motivate these guys enough to get one more win, we go back to Dallas for Game 7. If not, it's golf time.
Yeah, you know, maybe they should take some advice from my Knicks. Listen to Charles Barkley last night as the Knicks advanced to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Here's Charles Barkley talking about the Knicks' best player, Jalen Brunson.
4 single-digit wins for the Knicks in this series. 2-3, 1-5, 1-7. This was
spectacular. It was everything you want a playoff series to be. You got 2 great sports cities. New York is an amazing sports city. Philadelphia is a great sports city. The players laid it out there. You had Joel out there playing hurt. We are witnessing something. You know, when I said it, y'all told me I was crazy. Brunson, one of the best free agent signings of all time. And you guys, I said, he's not LeBron. He's not Kobe. Kevin Durant. Those are all-timers. But for signing a guy that nobody, this guy, he shocked there. I guarantee you the Knicks didn't think he was going to be this good. When they gave him that contract, he's been amazing, man.
He's been good as Bernard King. He's got my vote.
Yeah, that was last night as the Knicks really gutted up and played at a high level. Thor, thanks for coming. Have a great cruise with your bride. Thor from the Raider Nation Drinking Club and his bride are going to Alaska on an Alaskan cruise. Yes, repping Raider Nation. Send me some photos from the deck. I want to see what that looks at because my wife and I, that is definitely something we're planning on doing. Don't know when. Got to get the second last one out of college, but that's the one we want to go on, the Alaskan cruise. Have a safe, safe, unbelievable holiday. 702-365-9200. Ooh, Chris Matthews is listening. He says it's happened 5 times before. The Stars can make it 6. That's one of my live shot stories today. The Dean of the Newsmen. Teams with 4 straight wins against the reigning champions. So Chris Matthews tweets me, the Anaheim Ducks over Detroit in the 2003 conference finals. Colorado, 1999 over Detroit. Philadelphia over the Rangers, 1995 in the conference finals, 4-0. The Canadiens over Philly in 1976, 4-0. And Detroit over Toronto in 1952, 4-0. Now, maybe the greatest newsman I've ever met, Chris Matthews, could clarify this. I still think I'm right. It's never happened that a reigning cup champ, losing 4 in a row, a couple of these teams that Chris mentioned, 4-0, 4-0, 4 out of 5 of the examples Chris sent to me was 4 in a row. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being up 2-0 on the road. You get swept. I said, if the Golden Knights got swept in the first round here, 4-0, okay, I can live with that. I can't live, Chris Matthews, with winning the first 2 in Dallas. So the only other example would be here, Colorado over Detroit in the 99 conference finals, winning 4-2. That would be the equivalent of maybe Colorado being down 0-2 and winning 4 in a row. So again, I don't want to see this happen. I don't want to give any voodoo or any jinx here. I'm guaranteeing the win. But this is a big opportunity for Vegas to have, you know, I said this about my life in sports. I've been very lucky to go to some of the coolest things I've ever seen. A half-court shot to win the NCAA tournament. Super Bowls. I was there when the Patriots were down 28-3-1. I was there live. When you can come back, Mark Messier guaranteeing the win over the Devils in Game 6, which they won then Game 7. The Mark Messier guarantee with the Rangers in 94. Maybe we need that tonight. Maybe we need Stone before the game starts to say, I'm guaranteeing this win. Why not? Mark Messier did it. It's happened before. Joe Namath went to Super Bowl III. It should have been a Raiders Super Bowl. Do you know the Raiders were better than the Jets? And the Jets, I think the Raiders beat them that year, and then the Jets beat the Raiders in a miraculous way. Joe Namath went to Miami as a 17-point underdog and predicted the Super Bowl. Is there a player on this Golden Knight team that has the balls, the cojones, to call for a win tonight? Where the hell is that? I get the Las Vegas Review-Journal dropped on my driveway every day. Where's the guarantee? Where is Jonathan Marchessault saying, I guarantee we're going to win tonight? I'm sitting at a pizza joint, Grimaldi's guaranteeing a win. Who the hell am I? I never skated. I never played hockey. I'm guaranteeing a win. Let's get some Golden Knight fans to wake up today and get going. Vin Sapienza from Fox 5 will join us next as we get it going. 702-365-9200. Come on down to Grimaldi's. Unbelievable salads. We're here on the patio. It's lunchtime. See some people looking for parking coming in. Plenty of parking. Come on in. It's a big property here. Grimaldi's, the best pizza I ever had. You can get pizza to go, cerveza and wine. We thank Grimaldi's for hosting us today, live from Boca Park in Summerlin.